I would like you to turn to a verse in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Especially verse 13, I just read the first sentence of verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Says in a note, from the power of darkness and transferred. I like the English of the Darby translation in French, where it says, and transported into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are very thankful that we can give thanks to the Father that this change of grace has taken place in our lives. That we have been really delivered from the power of darkness, the power of devil, his kingdom, and that we have been transported into a quite different kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of His love. And the subject for this evening is the Christian and idolatry. And that's a subject that could be presented everywhere, any continent, any country. This is a subject that surely would give a lot of opportunities to give teaching that we need, all of us, in any country, in any continent. But as it says here, an idol of the mind is as offensive to God as an idol of the hand. And I'm saying that applies to all of us. I don't think that anyone here has an idol of the hand, any statue. I hope so, but I'm pretty sure it's so. But an idol of the mind can easily enter in our lives. So idolatry is still a very actual danger in our lives as well. We would rather be occupied with the Lord Jesus instead of speaking about idolatry. But as we read here, the Bible itself states, flee idolatry. And therefore it's important to be occupied with this subject. But always having in mind that we speak about a power, we speak about a kingdom, we speak about a darkness, we speak about idolatry, knowing that the Lord Jesus has delivered us from it. And I would like to, that's my exercise, I would like to present this subject, what is idolatry, related to the continent of Africa. Not because, and I would really underline this, not because idolatry is only found in Africa. Not at all. Idolatry is found everywhere. And especially in our hearts. Idolatry can easily be found in our hearts. And the Lord can easily detect us when we are directed by His Spirit, by the Word of God. But because of the fact that the Lord allows me to visit and has allowed me to visit several countries in Africa the last 45, 46 years, I had to be occupied with this subject, the Christian and idolatry. Having this question, having this burden, how can I be of help for my dear brothers and sisters who face idolatry day by day, who live with idolatry in their villages day by day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's why this PowerPoint presentation came into being. Before continuing about this presentation as such, I would like to start with a few explanations why finally in the last few years this final edition of this PowerPoint presentation came into being. It started with a piece of paper. I wrote some thoughts many years ago. It actually started when we still lived in the Cameroons in the 70s and 80s. The Lord helped me to learn the Bulu language, the most important language of the southern part of Cameroon. So I could understand my dear brothers and sisters when they prayed to God, especially the brothers in the meetings. God in the Bulu language is Zambe or Zama in Ekwutorogini in related languages. And Father is Esa. So my father, Zambe Esawom. I don't tell you this because I want to know you that I know some words in Bulu. But just to explain that Zambe is actually a supreme being, an unseen supreme being, a God that the ancestors of our brothers and sisters believed in. They worshipped him. They called him Zambe. And Esa does not only mean father, but also Lord. And the more I understood from the Bulu language, I started to wonder when brothers prayed, Zambe Esa Wom, do they really speak to the God of the scriptures when they speak about Zambe? And then we had some, it was in a time that Siegfried and Nick and I were still in Cameroon. We had some experiences. What pushed me more to think about this question, do they really speak to the God of the scriptures when they speak about Zambe? One day, a witch doctor came in the village of Kwemvon, where we lived, and rented a house there, and people came to him. Many members of the churches came to him because he had the Bible. And he put his hand on the Bible. And he helped the people. He solved their problems. One day, I was traveling around, visiting villages. Came back late in the night. And during the day before, when I was not there, Siegfried went to this witch doctor and told him, "You should leave." Those who know Siegfried can imagine how he went to see this man. "You must leave. I pray you leave. You are a man of the power of darkness." That same night, when I was traveling back home, and Siegfried and Erika were sleeping, all of a sudden, Erika wakes up, because Siegfried felt as if two hands were strangling him. And they cried to the Lord. And all of a sudden, Siegfried felt free. And I was traveling the same night, and I had to stop somewhere because a woman had to go to hospital. She was pregnant, and as soon as they saw our old Land Rover, they stopped us asking for help. So I had to make a U-turn and go back to the hospital. So I stopped somewhere, waiting till the whole family was ready to get into the car, because half of the village goes to the hospital together with the patient to be of help. And when I was waiting behind the old Land Rover, I saw a fire, and a witch doctor, another one, was helping, so-called helping patients. There was a fire, there were spears going up and down, was a lot of crying, it was very dark. And I was waiting behind the Land Rover, and all of a sudden, a huge fear seized me. What is going on here? There was nobody. All the people were in their houses. Nobody dared to be outside except that family that needed help. I was there alone waiting, and there was this power of darkness. And I cried to the Lord. And immediately, the fear disappeared. There was peace. So I thought, what is going on? All these people are Christians. Anyway, they go to church. They are, all of them have Bibles. All of them, they pray to Zambe, God. So I wrote some thoughts on the paper and kept thinking about it. How can I be of help? And then there was another experience in the 80s. A man came to know the Lord, a young man. He repented to God, believed in the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and he said, "I want you to burn all my charts." So Siegfried and I told him, "That's a good thing to do, but it's not up to us. You should do it. You really want to get rid of all these charms that you use, the power of darkness, you should get rid of it and burn them." He was a mighty hunter. The village was very happy with him. Anytime he went in the forest, animals could not escape. It's true, what I tell. Animals could not escape except snakes. And he came always back with monkeys and many other tasty animals. Bushmeat. And when he came to know the Lord, when he repented, he was no longer able to kill that number of animals. The animals just ran away. He did no longer have that power. And the village got very angry because there was less meat in the village. And he came, he burned all the charms, bottles buried with feathers and many other stuff, and he started to serve the Lord in the local assembly, in other places. We were very thankful. But one day we saw a kind of this regression, spiritual regression. And we had talked with him, the local brothers had talked with him. And we were just wondering what is happening here. One day I was in that meeting and I spoke about the five times that the Lord Jesus meets demons in the gospel according to Mark. He was sitting in the meeting on the bench. I still see him sitting. And all of a sudden he started to tremble as if he could not longer endure the message. And he went out. And later on, he told us that he had not burned all his charms. He had just kept the tooth of his father. When his father died, his father had given him a tooth and had told him, when danger arrives, you just tooth this tooth as a very powerful charm and you will be kept. And he said, I burned everything. And I put all my confidence in the Lord Jesus. But I thought, perhaps, there might happen something and the Lord can't help. So let me keep the tooth. And that's why the door was a little bit open for Satan. The Satan came in and his spiritual condition became worse than before his repentance. So I thought again, how is this possible? This man, he prayed Zamba Esa so many times. And it sounds so sincere. So finally, I finished the draft. I went through it again and again. Local brothers read it. And then I came to this final presentation. The main thought of this PowerPoint presentation was, how can I help my brothers and sisters in these different countries that I used to visit in such a way that they understand that I'm not just presenting this and showing them or convincing them you here in Africa are the only one who face idolatry. I wanted them to understand that in the past centuries, we all had ancestors who worshipped idols. And so I came to these presentations, this PowerPoint presentation. So I might skip some of these slides, but first of all, I emphasize that after the Babylon, that God built up a very special relationship with Israel, not with any other nation. And this was important because today, theologians at theological faculties in Africa teach that the gods of different tribes is actually the same God of Israel. So I emphasize time and again, the God of the Old Testament only revealed himself to one nation. And all the other nations had their own idols. Just as you here in Africa, you have your own idols. Each tribe own idol with own names. And that's why I put all these verses together so that they could see it. And we took time. We took a lot of time to go through these verses and to explain what these gods were. And they, little by little, they came, they told us, yeah, they have the same characteristics as our gods or the gods our parents worshipped in the past. I remember one day that I was in a country, and I don't remember exactly which country, and I saw a statue of Maria with the child. And the brothers and sisters told me, a few decades ago, we had here a statue of a goddess. And we came here to worship the goddess. And then the Catholic priest came to baptize all of us. And we got a cross here. And he took away the statue of this goddess and was replaced by Maria and the child. So the people still worshipped at the same place. But you understand, there was no change in their hearts. The statue had changed, but not the spiritual condition of their hearts. It actually, it was still a kind of Ashtoreth for them. And also, all these terrible sins that are related to idolatry, when you go through the scripture, you really see Satan is a murderer from the beginning. And he's using the demons to bring people to murder, even to the slaughter of their own children. Imagine a mother who is ready to sacrifice her child. And that's what happened in Africa in the past. And that's what happened in the Aztecs, Mexico, and elsewhere. Not only Africa, everywhere. And again, this slide reminds us how God built his relationship with Israel and why he did it. And I only present this to you because I suppose you know it, so because of time I don't want to show this a long time. But we are very thankful that God had this relationship with Israel to keep the knowledge, to preserve the knowledge of the true and of the living and true God, so that at the end we also would have that knowledge through the Lord Jesus. And God warned his people to be separated from the other nations. They were unique among all the nations. The theologians, the false theologians in Pretoria, South Africa, white and black theologians together, they teach the God of all the tribes in the past. That's the God of the nations, or the reverse. So this was important to see. And responsibility of Israel, what we spoke about with them, and the failure of Israel the consequences of Israel's failure, and how in danger it is for them in those days, but also for us today, to start on a slippery road. They started with placing the Canaanite gods in the secondary place to the Lord, so it was a mixed worship. They still worship the Lord, but you also worship the gods on the high places. And once they were on the slippery road, they went to step two, as you see, and then step three. That can also happen in our lives. Once we are on a slippery road, we can end up on a very low spiritual place. It was interesting for our brothers and sisters to understand the importance of Israel, not only the people, but also the land and also the holy city. That's very important for God. And it's also for us, when you think of the people, of the land and the holy city, in connection with our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus, who was born out of this people, who has walked in this land, and once will be the King of Kings in Jerusalem. To emphasize the uniqueness of Israel, in spite of all other nations, regardless where they are, in Africa, in Europe, in America, or elsewhere. And once they had understood that God had this unique relationship with Israel, once they had understood, our brothers and sisters in Africa, that God only mentioned the nations, or I should say that God only mentioned the idols of the nations who had an historical link with Israel, then we went to the second step, the idolatry that we find in those nations who do not have any relationship with Israel, as we find in Europe, in the past, in Africa, in America, and elsewhere. We have there the different forms of idolatry, as it is known in Africa, but also in other continents, and especially the third one, the worship of deceased ancestors, plays a huge role. Every day, most Africans of the equatorial part of Africa, I don't know much about the northern part, not so much about the northern part, but as far as the equatorial part is concerned, and in South Africa, with Johannesburg, Cape Town, that part, there you see these forms of idolatry, especially ancestral worship. They live in fear. We give thanks to the Father because He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transported us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. But they live in fear. And those brothers and sisters are still influenced by the extended family. They can still live in fear because of these ancestors. They believe the spirits of the ancestors are still around them. And then we started to talk about other nations who went their own ways, as Paul says in one of his preachings in Acts chapter 14, in the Western Europe. One of our sisters in South Africa said at the end of this Paul Van presentation, "I did not know that our brothers and sisters in Europe and those who moved from Europe to America later, that they also were divided up in tribes, and that their tribes had also idols, that they also worshipped idols." It was an eye-opener, and it helped her, and it helped also the brothers and sisters to understand that all of us, any nation, any race, faced that problem, and is still facing that problem. And that helped them to understand that they were not under a curse, because you know that they were taught they lived under a curse as being the sons of Ham. And we could happily tell them that's not according to the scripture. You don't live under a curse. So, it was very interesting when I was thinking about this PowerPoint presentation, and I was composing different elements, and I was thinking about the question, how can I help my brothers and sisters to understand that we also had this problem, while I did this research, that I found out that the word God that we use today has also been derived from a supreme being, just as our brothers and sisters in Africa. Godan, that has become our word God today. It was translated, as you can see here, in good, and good became God. And it was really good for our brothers and sisters to see this. When these first Christians in Europe around the fourth century repented to God and believed in the Lord Jesus, we don't know if that was really the case for each individual. We know about these mass repentance, especially when the Catholic Church did it, and emperors with the sword. Anyway, and then the fact that they could not read Scripture. But to get a biblical knowledge of the living and true God, regardless the name you use, you need to know the Scripture. You need the teaching of the written Word of God. You can call him God. You can call him Zambe, as they do in Bulu. You can call him Mungu, as they call him in Congo. And when a brother in Samir, when a brother in Mputu, when he prays, Baba Mungu, then you understand. He knows the one he prays to. But when you listen to others who pray to Mungu or to Mulungu in Malawi, or to Ungungungu, that's the word. Yeah, sorry, that's the word they use in the Zulu language. You really wonder, do they know the true and the living God, or are they just still praying to the supreme being of their ancestors? So they need teaching from the written word of God to get the right knowledge, the right notion of God, regardless the name they use. If not, they cannot grow spiritually. Sorry? Thank you. A right understanding of God, yes. What am I here? So again, we speak about the nations or tribes that went in their own ways, but now here in North America, the Native Americans, they also had a supreme deity, Kichimanitu. They also believed in demons and spirits called Manitus. And I think many of us have read these books about Indians in the past, and with all these adventures, and Manitou, Winnetou, and so on. But these poor people, they were slaves. They were in the power of darkness. And who went to them preaching the gospel? The first missionaries in Africa, they arrived in 1895. Can you imagine? 1895. The first missionaries in Cameroon. We in Western Europe, I feel myself, we are guilty that we arrived so late with the gospel in that continent. And you might feel the same, we all might feel the same when it comes to the Native Americans. Although, when I read about the Catholic priests who went far into the forest, who underwent torture and died because they believed that the more they tortured the victim, the better they would have strength, the more strength they would have of their money too. And they feared, they lived in fear, praying to the Manitous because they could not have a direct relationship with Kichi Manitou, the supreme being. But then something very, very, a very blessed thing happened by a missionary from the UK, John Eliot. He has preached the gospel among the Massachusetts tribe. He has invented alphabet in their language. He has translated the whole Bible in their language. And he also faced the question, how to translate Kichimanitu? Because that was a name that was used by many languages at the eastern part of America in those days. Of course, the United States did not still exist. It was America in those days. And he translated the whole Bible. A printer came over and was placed in the house in Cambridge near Boston. And they printed 1,000 copies of that Bible. And then this John Eliot, I think he must have been thinking a lot. Which name should I choose? And he chose the name God to avoid all confusion. And this Bible was distributed from what we call now Boston till what we call now New York, along the coast. All these languages were related to Massachusetts. And this language, this Bible, had the same effect on that big area as the Luther Bible in Germany, forming German, and our Dutch translation, the so-called Dutch Statenvertaling, which formed the Dutch language. And so Massachusetts language became very well known in that big area till 1675. Only 15 years. There was a war, and the British soldiers, who had already for many years the so-called authorized version in their own language, they destroyed all these Bibles. Only one copy was left. It's in a museum in Boston. Only one copy. And all the praying villages, that's the name for villages for those Native Americans who got converted, all destroyed. You can weep when you think of all these souls who could have been saved. But power, money, influence, land, and what on. So once our brothers and sisters understood that everywhere in the world they have known that same problem. Not only we in our country. And so they got a better understanding that they need the Bible. They need to study the scripture to know how to pray to Mungu, Mulungu, Zambe. And the name is not important, but it's the understanding of that name. Do they really have a biblical understanding? Do they, when they say Zambe, have they the knowledge of the true and the living God who gave his son to die on the cross of Calvary for them? During one conference, our dear brother Mukama Gerard from Rwanda, he said this, "Dear brothers and sisters, the Imana, in Kinyarwanda language, they call God Imana." And he said this, "The Imana our parents, our ancestors, worshipped is not the Imana of the Bible. Please read the Bible so that you get to know who is really Imana. And then you can pray to him and you can give thanks to the Father who gave his Son to deliver us from the power of darkness." So there are many differences between what we call African traditional religion. And I would like to recommend this book. You can find it on Paul Meyer's table there this evening. This, according to me, is a must reader for each brother, sister, who is serving or would like to serve the Lord in Africa. That was my own experience. As long as we do not understand that what I try to explain to our brothers and sisters, the difference between the message of Scripture and that what the African traditional religion is teaching about this subject, God, eternal rest of the soul, and the other subject mentioned here, they will not really enjoy the Christian message. They will not enjoy salvation. They will not really know what sin is. Pygmies, when they have problems among them, they get very angry when they have committed fornication, very angry. But they have to continue collectively. So they sit together, they rub shoulders, and at the end they start to love, and to love very hard, and in this way they resolve the problem of sin. And during the whole night they do this, and the next day the problem has been solved. But they need the Scripture to get a knowledge of sin, of forgiveness. And I spoke already about these false statements in the faculties in Nairobi and Pretoria, saying Jesus is the supreme being of all of us. And all the gods of the of our nations in the past is the same God as the God of the Israel, the God of the Bible. I think this is clear for all of us. I see that just 3 minutes are left for questions. I would stop it here if there are any questions.